So we've already hinted towards this, but if you had to pick one thing, what do you think was the most difficult thing for you as a teacher during online teaching? I can go. I think I've got an answer.
Okay.
The interactivity. Because especially with my, you know, some of the kids I teach are 4, 5, 6 years old, and you have to, like, one way of keeping them engaged is you just move them around the classroom all the time, like every 5 minutes, you know, it's go to this corner, go over there, go here, now do an, you know, interact with each other, now interact with that toy, now interact with that computer, now interact with this, bam, 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 bam. I thought, because the attention span, again, is nothing. They have to stay fixed on the computer screen. Occasionally, you know, you can send them off to, again, go find their pet or some toy or go tell me what fruit's in your fridge or whatever it was. In terms of creating that variation within that square, making those different learning situations and interaction options through a hugely two-dimensional and non-physical medium, it's just really tough for kids. It's tough enough for anybody. But as a teacher of young learners, I think 80% of your effort goes into attention grabbing.
Yeah.
Online teaching just puts this great bloody big wall in between the pair of you. So it's,
yeah,
that for me as a teacher was the hardest part.
In the same way, I found fun.
Yeah.
To be a missing thing in the online classes. I tried to get better at it. You will have to ask my students if I succeeded or not.
Did teacher get better at fun?
But for me, it was a big challenge because I used to do like competitions,
yeah,
fun activities in class, games, to practice and make it more interesting. But it's very limited when you're working online. You can't really make teams that work together. Yeah. I mean, I used a functionality of Zoom that was the rooms, the breakout rooms, which were great for when you had to make them work in teams and stuff. And it worked very well. But when it was about playing games, if they had to think of an answer together with their team or something and then say it, they had no way to do that in a very short period of time, like 5 seconds, say.
Games were limited. I know, for example, there's lots of online game facilities, but yeah, but there's the other problem, technical problems. Oh, sorry, technical guys, you need to sign up for this.
Yeah.
Go to this website. Enter this code to play this.
And it will take such a long time from, like, the thing is also like, even with breakout rooms, it takes time for them to get into breakout rooms, getting out of breakout rooms. So you lose so much time from the lesson itself that you have to really think through: am I gonna add that element into here or not? Like, you cannot. It's just, it takes so much time out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what makes it most efficient?
I mean, for a start, our school barely had everybody's email address, did they? So
we had to collate all of them again.
Those kind of things, I think, now will be, you're right, like, important policy.
Mm.
Here's our services. This is what we need to use. Sign up for these things. They're good things. They're useful.
And being, like, even prepared for, like, okay, be ready in this lesson. We're going to use this and this and this website. So have it open once we're going to start the lesson. You log in, get that.
Because it would be nice. Look, I know, for example, so again, I should just say that at our place, we taught from 4 to 18-year-olds and then adults sometimes. So there's a huge range of people there. For example, with the older teenagers, you know, they all have mobile phones.
I used Kahoot once, actually.
How did it, online?
Yeah. We used it in one of our lessons, but I really felt like it took way more time than it took in the normal class.
Yeah.
Because it was like all about, like, it was one of the things was also, actually the thing is also the students got really annoyed because the internet problems.
Mm-hmm.
So like everybody, it was just like, I remember they were like, I don't want to play anymore because this is not account, like taking my answer into account, or I lost my internet or whatever. So it was like, it was a huge mess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what you just said, Issa, right? You see these things and you're like, oh my God, that's great. That's going to work. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's great. I'm going to use that. Oh my God, this is great. I'm going to use that. And but the reality of it is it's a lot of work and it's very difficult to implement these things and make it run smoothly online.
Yeah. And sometimes it's very frustrating because as a teacher, you spend so much time designing these activities and making them work and everything.
Work.
And then at the time of the class, they can't access, or one of the kids can't sign in, or la la la. So in the end, you can't really use it, and you have been wasting lots of time in it.
I imagine a lot of the answers are going to be the same here, but we've talked about us as teachers. What about your students? What do you think was the most difficult thing for them?
Since all of their learning was online, I think for the students it was just they were overwhelmed with this the work that they had from their school itself.
Yeah.
And so, and also like if we think about how Spanish kids were quarantined for 7 weeks in a row, like I could feel that it was really draining them in a really obvious kind of way. So like keeping having like students were like the lack of energy, like being able to, and then also being engaged in that sense. Like, I mean, I couldn't blame them being like so tired, and some of them felt like it was a change because for some of the students, this was the only time they had online lessons and everything else came. And I think that was better for them because they felt like they were interacting with someone, not just doing homework that was just massively assigned to them. But yeah, that kind of, and paying attention, that kind of thing. It depended on the age groups. The older ones, it was easy. Like they were also more engaged, like more invested in that. But with the younger ones, it was definitely like keeping their attention, keeping them entertained, and for them feeling entertained.
Yeah, I would say that plus interaction, like spoken interaction. I don't know if it was because of the element of their parents being around or their siblings being around, and they were a bit embarrassed, or I don't know what it was, but didn't interact the same way they interact in class.
Well, even in the most potentially relaxed and happy design of this kind of situation, you know, like having a conference call with my family, I still find it difficult. You know, it's hard to talk naturally and to, I don't know, just interact in the same way you would. And that's as good as it gets. So, yeah, no wonder that went down. One of my most chatty, open, relaxed groups was this group of fourth of primary. So they were having their 10th birthday that year, all girls. And they were my easiest guys to teach because they would come into the classroom. They would not stop chatting, but in a productive way. I think both of you saw that group. They were absolutely fantastic. And online, they were my worst group. They just stopped talking.
I have issues like that as well. In fact, I have, groups and individual kids as well that used to be in a certain way in class, and they switched to the other polar opposite during online class, for good or for bad.
That's true.
Both.
Same for me.
Directions.
So it's true. What we're saying is that some kids took to it well, some kids didn't take to it well. Would you say that switching to online affected different groups of students differently? Was there a broad kind of reaction? What was your experience?
In my experience, I noticed it in two levels, in group levels and in individual student. There were students that were weaker during normal classes, and now all of a sudden we're like on top of it, paying more attention, using the classes more. I think probably it had to do with them having attention problems. And maybe in the classroom their attention is more, do you say diverted?
Do you mean distracted? Do you mean?
Yeah, they were more distracted in the classroom because they have all these things in the walls.
Yeah.
And there are people in the corridor going up and down. There's noises. There's
kids kicking them under the table.
Yeah. There's kids around saying things, looking at each other, la la ha 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 ha. And now it was different. They only had to look at a square the whole time, so they were more focused. But then there were also kids that used to be really good and in class, and all of a sudden they were really lost, and it shocked me a little bit. I thought they would remain the same.
I had the same experience. I remember one of my groups who was like the most rambunctious,
Say? Yeah, good
like,
word.
Yeah. Like yeah. Really, like, came in and, like, they, I mean, one of the things I knew when the quarantine started with them, the teaching would be like, wow, I can mute them if necessary, but I didn't even need to mute them. They mute themselves, basically. So it was like, I was really shocked because, and I remember I asked actually at the end, feedback and everything, how they felt, and one of the students said, who really wanted to learn as well, he was like, I like this because it was quieter. I was like, that's true. Because like they couldn't, because they fed off from each other's energy. And having being isolated like this, and they couldn't, they realized at one point as well, they can't carry on the same way because they can't see each other. They can't interact the same kind of way. So yeah, that definitely happened. But I had like the same, I had some students where I was just like, I mean, the weirdest behavior, like in class, normal person, completely engaged and everything. And suddenly in the classroom starts doing the weirdest things. Like you just can't even explain why are you acting like, you know, a person who's 13 years old and showed maturity in classroom, suddenly online, extremely mature person. Like it's just weird kind of change. And I had the student who... I don't know how much he actually improved in English throughout the year, but he really flourished or blossomed during the online teaching because I feel like he has a sister at home. And having sister at home, I think she helped him as well with all the activities. And he would send all the homework. He would do it really well. And he was super engaged in the classroom as well. And that was really a surprise to me. And he really like benefited from it because in the classroom, he had a lot of difficulties understanding things. Whereas somehow online, because he could do the homework as well on his own, I mean, he benefited from that at least, yeah.
I remember I have also some students that are not especially good studying English, but they're very good at art, like creative things. So they really flourished as well during the lockdown because they had the chance to make videos or make posters and like things like this. They found really interesting and they really worked on it. I don't understand why they hadn't done that before though, because during the time that we were in normal classes, I also told them to do certain activities like that. But it seems like they put a lot more effort into these ones now. Maybe because they were all the time at home and they had more time for it.
I think it's almost as well, it's that blending. As a outside the conventional school extracurricular English Academy, they do all their schoolwork as, you know, it's within a sphere. And then we're like this little outer sphere to that they come to and go to. But when that is suddenly plonked in with everything and at home, I guess maybe they were starting to make these more creatively kids are starting to make more connections. Like, oh, well, here we go. I can do this in English. I can. And that's quite cool, right? That's adding diversity to their language learning rather than just, I'm passing the exam or I just got to learn whatever teacher's telling me.
I had to memorize this.
Yeah, this list. They're actually, I don't know, finding things, applying it. Maybe they were searching the internet and all sorts, TV.
I felt like the presentations or the videos that they did, like students were way more relaxed there. Because usually when they were doing presentation in classroom, they got super like scared and everything. And even there, sometimes, you know, we would film them. But I saw that like somehow having been filmed by someone or filming yourself was made them way more relaxed. So students
because
usually
were in control of the camera.
Exactly. Mm. So they sounded way more natural, not normal.
Another kid that I had that I noticed a change in was one that had dyslexia. Because now he could write on word processors. So when he typed things wrong, it would be underlined and he was given the solution. So it made him a lot more confident. So he started writing. He was the one in the group. Whenever there were group activities for writing tasks, he was the one in charge of writing.
Good man. Well, yeah, that's cool. That's leveling the playing field, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like your handicap in golf, you know. You can play with someone who's a lot better than you because you got that extra little bonus. Nice. And that's the modern world anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, why not use technology to your advance if there are tools already made for it?
Yeah, when they're ubiquitous tools. I mean, when was the last time you wrote something without using a word processor? For me, it was an awful long time ago.